Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ernest Maddox of the Point of Light Christian Center and Dr. E. Maddox Ministries. We welcome you from around the world to this broadcast relative and pertinent to the Word of God. We encourage you to call a friend and have them to call in at 646-716-8530 so they can listen on their phones, or go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Maddox. That's DRMADDOX. We are here every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to encourage you to go to the bookstore, the ministry bookstore, www.DREMADDOX.org. We have a blessing there for you, all kinds of training materials, videos, MP3s that you can benefit from relative to the Word of God. There are three books that we have now: Impact of a Deliverance Prayer, Apostolic Manifesto, and Weapons of Our Warfare. Now, for a period of time, if you purchase Apostolic Manifesto and Weapons of Our Warfare, the book Impact of a Deliverance Prayer will be given free of charge. So I would encourage you to go to the website right now. You can reach us at Dr. E. Maddox Ministry via phone at 248-796-8523, the Point of Light Christian Center, 248-423-9289. We just want to take a moment to ask God to bless us as we move into the Word of God. I know that you will be blessed. So our great Father in heaven, we thank you now for the word that you are about to deliver over these airwaves. All of you be blessed, be delivered, and be empowered.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there.
Bye.
It ain't my fault. How many times have you heard that as a mother, a father, parents, teachers, pastors, and preachers? How many times has God heard it? How many times has the police officers heard it? The judge heard it. The warden at the penitentiary heard it. We hear that statement all the time. It ain't my fault. It was because of. You know what happened was they didn't do and I couldn't do. Look, this has been pressing on me for the last week. You know, I've been in this series called The Days of Noah and the Blood Moon relative to the Red Dragon. And I'm going to tie all of that together in part four called The Days of Noah and the Red Dragon. That will be coming up. But God pressed it on my mind to take a break from that series of messages to address this, because I find that there are a lot of individuals being faced with these kind of statements. Now, on March 18th, Wednesday, 7 p.m., I will conclude Noah, the days of Noah, and the Red Dragon. But today, I want to deal with the fact that people say it ain't my fault. Now, let me give you some examples. An individual gets a job, and they know they have to be at the job at 8 o'clock in the morning. They stay up until 5:30 in the morning and don't wake up in time. And then they want you to take them to work when you have to be to work at 8:30. They need to be there at 8, and your job is 50 miles from theirs, so you can't take them. They get fired, and they tell everyone they got fired from the job because you didn't take them to work. They tell everybody, it ain't my fault. If so-and-so had have taken me to work, they know I didn't have a car, then I would still have my job. But they never consider the fact that if they had went to bed at an appropriate time, they would have got up in enough time to catch the bus like they normally do. Oh, let me give you another example. An individual gets a job and it's too far for them to catch the bus, and they want you to let them use your car. But because of previous driving infractions, driving drunk, driving high, driving reckless, too many tickets, they don't have a driver's license. And they tell you, look, I work in the morning, you work in the midnight, you can let me use your car. They are not able to get to work, they lose the job, and they tell everybody it's your fault because you wouldn't let them use the car. But they fail to explain that they don't have any driver's license and your insurance will not cover an unlicensed driver. They fail to share that bit of information. It ain't my fault. Let's go to Genesis 3:9, and I know many of you could come up with 1,000 real life situations. Amen. 1,000 real life situations. I've had individuals tell me I didn't make the appointment because I was drunk, and you knew I was a drunk, and you should have stopped me from drinking. You should have came to my house and made sure I didn't drink, because I would drink and miss that appointment, and as a result, this happened, that happened, and all of these things happened. I've even had individuals say to me that people have blamed them for losing their children because they wouldn't show up at the hearings because they were drunk or doing something else or creating another child when they should have been in court to see about the one they claim they love. But because you didn't step in and assume their responsibility, then it's not their fault. It ain't my fault. My mama did it. My daddy did it. My uncle did it. My cousin did it. The judge did it. The white people did it. The black people did it. The Mexicans did it. The Jews did it. The ants did it. Somebody else did it. And it ain't my fault. Well, we do that to each other. We go across gender lines. We go across cultural lines, ethnicity. We go across economic lines in order to blame someone else. Now, I'm not saying that it's never a situation where someone else contributed, but there, in most cases, is something that individual did. Let's go to the Bible in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. And those of you who are familiar with the scriptures, verses 1-8 describes what Eve did and Adam did relative to the serpent. If you read Genesis 2nd chapter, God gave them some instructions to follow about two trees, and two trees in particular. One they could eat from, the tree of life. The other one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they shouldn't. They did. They let Satan talk them into it. But listen to the dialogue as it picks up in Genesis 3, the 9th verse. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, Genesis 2nd chapter, they were naked and not ashamed. Now, in verse 11, and he said, the Lord said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten up the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? I'm reading from the King James. And in verse 12, listen to this. And the man said, the man Adam said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now, I want you to listen to this. Adam is virtually saying, it ain't my fault. I didn't do nothing wrong. It wasn't me. I don't know why you all up in my face with this. I didn't do anything wrong. Adam blamed first his wife. Then he said, because you gave her to me, the woman you... Then he blamed God. It ain't his fault. He would not take responsibility for what he did. So God broke off the conversation with him and went to the woman. And if you read further, you'll see where she accepted her responsibility and her part in it. But Adam did not. It ain't my fault. How many of us have encountered individuals that want to blame you for their bad marriages? They want to blame you for their bad decisions about jobs, about everything that they've made bad decisions about. I know individuals who are of individuals who will get high, get drunk, and tear up cars, and then say to the individuals they feel should continue to supply them with modes of transportation, it's their fault that they don't have another vehicle because they should have helped them. And they don't understand, nobody who's thinking is going to empower you to drive drunk, or I call it get married drunk. And I'm using a figure of speech because people are getting married and they get married under the influence, like some people drive under influence, if you get my drift. You have no business operating a man or a woman under the influence of nonsense, and when it does not work because you didn't follow instructions, then you say, nobody told me, and it's not my fault. You don't want to assume responsibility, but I'm telling you now, you are responsible. When you run a stop sign, the judge will tell you ignorance of the law is no excuse, because nine times out of ten, you knew that stop sign was there, but you wanted to take a risk because you think you know better, and you want somebody else now to bail you out, and some of you children need to be bailed out. But some of you who are 18, 19, 20, 35, 56, 78, you are no longer in a position where you can claim that you do not know. And don't get upset with people because they won't empower you to endanger yourself or endanger others with your mode of thinking that is not in the realm of logic and not in the realm of accountability, because the Word of God says we will all answer to Him for what we do. And anyone knows that. That's basic reality. Because for those of you and those of us who have claimed that, well, I didn't know, it ain't my fault, we still had the better consequences. You get caught in an automobile with somebody who's just committed an armed robbery, then you're going to jail too. Accessory during the fact or after the fact. Ain't my fault is not going to work in the secular, natural world, and is not going to work in the spiritual world either, whichever you think may work for you.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh, what, get straight, remix, Brother Stone, you're in the universe, keeping God first, like that, for all of y'all, check it out. You better get straight before it's too late, cause ain't no telling how much more God gon' tolerate. I came to expose those who try to pose or lackadaisical on the gospel, yo. You better get straight before it's too late, cause ain't no telling how much more God gon' tolerate. I came to expose those who try to pose or lackadaisical on the gospel, yo. Somebody about to get their feelings hurt as I clock in and begin to start work with this spiritual sledgehammer, hitting all antichrist, cause I can't stand ya. Let me hand ya this first on my list, firebombing on you atheists, activists who believe that God don't exist, whatever.
supernatural wonders taking place just by chance. Yeah, right. I reduce that dumb and deaf spirit. And when I lay hands on you, I guarantee you'll never forget it. You better get straight before it's too late. Cause ain't no telling how much more God gon' tolerate. I came to expose those who try to pose or lack of days ago on the gospel. No, you better get straight before it's too late. Cause ain't no telling how much more God gon' tolerate. I came to expose those who try to pose or lack of days ago on the gospel. No, a message to my defeated foe. You know, I come to tear down some bowl of your kingdom. Harry Potter be the reason kids being trained to grow up to be heathen. Then in the line overnight to get a tattoo on their heads and a book. Parents wake up and take a closer look. It's a setup to get them ready for the mark of the beast. So when it's time for it, they take it with ease. Please don't let another day go by with the Pokemon toys. Buy their bedside, destroy it, and get your house in order before your family becomes one member shorter. Violence should never be glorified. Even if they look like cute animals, they still demons inside. But no, you don't face them. Just remember the girl who was killed by her classmate. He was 5 years old. You better get straight before it's too late. Cause ain't no telling how much more God gon' tolerate. I came to expose those who try to pose or lackadaisical on the gospel, yo. You better get straight before it's too late. Cause ain't no telling how much more God gon' tolerate. I came to expose those who try to pose or lackadaisical on the gospel, yo. Get straight.
What? Before it's too late. Pump your brakes. Too busy trying to accelerate. Check it out.
Last but definitely not least, all the warning in the church got to cease. Let us all decrease so that the law may increase. Only if we come together, the most souls we can reach. But no, some of y'all believe the Lord is only speaking to you. Arrogant heart and show no stupidity. For a man that thinks he's God's exclusive ministry, talking like he's got the answer for the entire world's needs. If I be lifted up, I'll draw him into me, is what Jesus said. So get it through your head and stop fleshing out. Cause you're going down the wrong route. You better check yourself, or better yet, check your spirit. God's trying to take you something. Did you hear it? The body has many parts, but one head. And without it, how could the body be led? All that was needed to be said has been said. Get straight. You better get straight before it's too late. Cause ain't no telling how much more God gon' tolerate. I came to expose those who try to oppose or lackadaisical on the gospel, yo. You better get straight before it's too late. Cause ain't no telling how much more God gon' tolerate. I came to expose those who try to oppose or lackadaisical on the gospel, yo.
You better get straight. What? Before it's too late. I mean, you need to slow down and get your foot out the tank. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. In other words, y'all, we gotta repent and get straight.
Now let's go back to Genesis, the third chapter, and let's deal with that whole issue again. Now let's go to Genesis 3:17, or let's start in 16, because there were consequences to behaviors based on the fact that they had been given instruction. It ain't my fault did not work with God. Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. Now the first two parts of that is greatly multiplying sorrow relative to conception, but the other part, the second part of that, was the restoration of submission to a husband, but in a way now where she's going to be subject to a man who has conflict in himself or disobey God. That is very interesting. But if you notice, everything that happened was pertaining to Eve as a person. When God gets to Adam, the man, it says, verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall I bring up forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it you were taken, and to it you will return, or out of it you were taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. You need to recognize that we have to be accountable for what we do. We are accountable for what we do. And these scenarios about it ain't my fault. The pastor tells you and gives you certain instructions, and you know that those instructions are biblical because you read it in the Bible, and you decide to do something else, then that responsibility and accountability is on you. Now, is there ever an occasion where something happened as it isn't your fault? Yes, somebody runs a red light and hits your car. Amen. Yes, some older uncle or individual molests you as a child. That wasn't your fault. What's interesting is that the predator will say, oh, that little girl had on a short dress and it enticed me. Oh, this woman was acting a certain way and it enticed me. Oh, this girl was at the bar, so I assume she wanted to do X, X, and X. See, individuals like that, it is their fault. Is it the woman's fault who's trying to have a social event at a club or a bar? No. It's not a sin to be somewhere unless it's a sin to be somewhere. My point is this. Because a woman is a woman and a man gets excited, it's not the woman's fault that he rapes her. I just want to make that very clear. Now, maybe we don't make the best decisions and we put ourselves in scenarios that we shouldn't be in, but that does not exonerate the perpetrator from their responsibility of making the proper decision themselves, and then wanting to imply that it's someone else's fault. Now, I use these examples because these things occur on a daily basis, at a very ground level basis. A lot of adults who are in church today were victims of someone else's bad decisions, and truly, it wasn't their fault. But once, and I'm talking about a Christian now, once you become aware that God is able to remove that pain, then you have the power of decision to begin to ask God to help you with the Holy Spirit to accomplish freedom from those events that were not your fault. Now, for those of you who don't know God, then if you come to Christ, He can help you with this. Even in a world where you have chosen not to know God, there are counselors that will tell you not to dwell on the past, and if it was someone else's fault, you need to let that go so you can move on with your life. But everybody is going to have to give account for what they do and what they say, and you will have to stand before the God of heaven and confess what you've done and take responsibility for every act you have committed. And that statement, it ain't my fault, it is not going to work on any level. Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works, according to what you did, according to what you worked out, according to what you committed. There is an accountability. There is a responsibility. But I will say to you, for those of you who live in that place, who've made bad decisions, whether you only impacted yourself, which I doubt, or others, you're going to have to own up to that. Clear it up. You're going to have to go to individuals and apologize for what you did and quit claiming circumstantial motivation that caused you to do something and it wasn't really your fault. For those of you who are in a position when it was not your fault, it truly wasn't, then you're going to have to learn to forgive those individuals and move forward so their infractions doesn't create a negative scenario for you for the rest of your life. Now, let me say this at this juncture. There are a lot of people saying, well, you don't forgive, you need to forgive. And a lot of people interpreted forgiveness as putting yourself back into a position where that person can do the same thing to you over and over, and you have to forgive them. They quote the scripture, if that brother sins against you 70 times 7 or 7 times 70, you need to forgive them. Yes, you forgive them, but listen to this. You won't get a chance to sin against me 7 times 70 or 70 times 7 because I'm not going to put myself in a proximity for an habitual individual who does things habitually to continue to put me in a position where I need to forgive and deal with the damage of the behavior. You can remove yourself from damaging people and still forgive them. Amen? I am not going to let a convicted pedophile, even if they've come to Christ, babysit my children. Why? I love them in the Lord, but I'm not going to expose my children to them based on some false concept of forgiveness, which I have interpreted to mean that I can put other people as well as myself in continuous jeopardy. Now, I said pedophile, I could say thief, I could say murderer, I could say liar, depending on the scenario that was created. You need to remove yourself. You need remove yourself. The word of God is clear. We need to understand that there is a reality that we need to understand, and we need to abide by it and quit ducking behind scriptures that we've twisted that allow us to excuse ourselves as well as not assume responsibility. Amen. It says in 2 Timothy, and it talks about in the last days what kind of men shall appear. This also you know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3:1. And moving on to 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covenant boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of themselves, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. For such turn away. You cannot put yourself continuously in situations where you can be damaged and people will turn around and say, it's not my fault, it's because this happened to me and that happened to me. And other people said, you know what, you need to tolerate what they do and forgive them. And if you remove yourself from the arena where they have access to you, then you have not forgiven them, and therefore you are not obeying God. So you need to keep yourself in a marriage where you're being beat because that individual was abused when they grew up, and how you show the love of God, because it's really not their fault, it ain't my fault, then you put up with that and tolerate it to show them the love of God. I say to you, that is nonsense. You do not continuously put yourself in an environment where a person can claim it's not my fault because of, and you be led into a level of guilt that tells you that you have to deal with it because grace and forgiveness says you must. Well, that is not biblical. That is not biblical. Nowhere does it say you have to perpetually put yourself in a situation where you can be abused by someone claiming the ain't my fault syndrome. Please understand. I know individuals who blame God. They blame everyone, but they refuse to see the facts and the realities of their own behavior and what that means and what level of accountability has to be understood when it comes to their own particular circumstances. Now, you may be asking, why am I even talking about this? Because you need to understand, God does not accept excuses relative to behavior where you want to say it's not my fault. Judges don't accept it while you're in court. If the facts show different, the police who observed you running that stop sign or that red light is not going to say, oh, I understand that it's not your fault because you didn't see the sign today. You've been seeing it, but you didn't see it today. So it's not my fault. When you are involved in things that you know are damaging, whether you are a Christian or not, you know when it is your fault. And you know when you need to take responsibility. But as long as there are individuals who are around you, who allow you to be able to claim this and empower you not to take responsibility or accountability, then they're not doing you a favor. You're not doing yourself a favor. There are many families that are suffering, children who are suffering because fathers and mothers are saying, it's ain't my fault. We have a responsibility. Let us take that responsibility. Now, I've said a lot of things that you may feel are not connected, but those of you who have been through this process with people and their attitudes about this, you know what the reality of this is. fault. I didn't understand. It ain't my fault. Well, let's go to Genesis 4:4. And it says, "And Abel, he also brought up firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he did not have respect, and Cain was very wroth with God." Now, if you go to verse 3 in that same chapter, it says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought up the fruit of the ground and an offering unto the Lord." Now, let's go back to verse 6, and it said here, or says here, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Verse 7, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Verse 8, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, The Lord said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground." Now, here's another example of an individual not doing what they're supposed to do. Fronted about it. Attitude basically is, it ain't my fault. Here you have an extreme case of an individual wanting to put the blame of his behavior and actions on someone else. Even when God said to Abel, "Look, where is your brother? I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about." But if you notice, after God talked to him and told him, "You need to take responsibility for not doing the right thing, and if you do, I will accept you." Rather than doing that, Cain went to Abel because he perceived Abel as being the one that caused him to look or appear to be in a bad light, because Abel did do the right thing. And since Cain didn't want to take responsibility, he wanted to kill the one he believes that exposed his flaw and caused him to be embarrassed and caused him to feel, it ain't my fault, it's Abel's fault, because he did what he did and it made me look bad. How many examples or scenarios can we say in the human existence that has happened on various levels? The individual who has committed the infraction is upset because somebody who did the right thing caused his infraction to be manifest, because there was a contrast and they were identified, and they became so angry they began to attack the other individual. Well, it does not necessarily become as extreme as Cain and Abel, but it has. But most of the time, it results in the verbal assassination, because individuals want to believe, it ain't my fault. It just ain't my fault. This happened. That happened. You see, what happened was, and it ain't my fault. I was smoking marijuana when I hit that pole, and that pole fell on that man's car, and his car blew up, and one of the flames hit the neighbor's house and burnt the neighbor's house down and killed the dog. And when the dog died, the child became upset and had to go into therapy. But it ain't my fault. I hope you are listening to me. Examine ourselves very closely, what we say, what we do, and what we claim, because we have a responsibility. And sometimes, if not most of the times, when you are in consequences, it is your fault. I just felt led to do this message. I've talked to people who are dealing with certain circumstances in their lives who claim to be Christians. I've found that they don't pay tithes. They really don't obey God, but they are upset because these things have happened in their lives. The bottom line is we are accountable. We have a responsibility. God has given us a choice. There are consequences. Claiming it ain't my fault before God does not work. And it doesn't work all the time with human beings either. But at no time does it work with God. We must take responsibility. We must be accountable for what we do and what we say and who we say we are as Christians. Amen. I just want to take this moment to share with you workshops that are coming up March the 14th and March the 21st. Go online at www.dremaddox.org. These are free workshops. They are free. You go online, get the information, register, because these workshops you do want to take. Deliver Us is the first one on March 14th, and the God Shift is the second free workshop on March 21st. You will get the information once you go online. Look, I just want to say to you that God is with you, and you can come from up under anything that the enemy is attempting to put on you. I just want to send a prayer up for all of my brothers and sisters around the world. I want to say a special prayer for a young man, Robert Baldwin, who is facing some challenges and needing to make some decisions. May God guide him, and may you pray that God will lead him into making the right decisions that he needs to make in his life regarding everything that he needs to do. As you think about what it is that you want to do relative to your life, then you need to be praying about that also. Continue to pray for this ministry. Continue to ask God for direction. So you won't always perpetually be saying, it ain't my fault. God bless you.